Join us now for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Oh, me. Growing up as a child, I would have much rather gotten a spanking than the look. Well, this morning, I want to take the next few moments to teach on the role that a mother plays in the shaping of the character and the future of her children. And so join me, if you would, please, in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20. As you're making your way to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20, I want to take this moment to celebrate my wife, one of the greatest mothers I have ever known. She has indeed not only shaped the character and the future of our children, but this morning I stand here as a recipient of her love, her unconditional love that has helped to shape my character and my future. You see, mothers, they teach us many, many things. And God uses the mom, uses mothers to shape our lives and to leave a lasting impression on each of us. I came across something that I thought was very cute. It was very familiar, and it reminded me of my own mom. Let's see if it reminds you of your mom. It was entitled, My Mother Taught Me. My mother taught me religion. My mother taught me religion when she would say things like, you better pray that stain will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel when she said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic. She taught me logic when she would respond to my question by saying, because I said so, that's why. My mom taught me foresight when she told me to make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're ever in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying, she said, and I'll give you something to cry about. My mom taught me about hypocrisy when she said, if I told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. My mom taught me about the circle of life when she told me, I brought you into this world, and my mom taught me about behavior modification. Behavior modification. She taught me about that when she told me to stop acting like my father. My mother taught me medical science when she told me, if you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me about humor when she told me, when that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't you come running to me. And finally, my mom taught me about roots as she told me to shut that door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? How many of you this morning think that sounds a whole lot like your mom? And with a raised hand, how many of you moms are beginning to sound a whole lot like your mom? Moms, God uses them to shape our character and our future. And in Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20, it says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, she asked a favor of him, this mom. She came, the King James Version says, that she came worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And in verse 21, Jesus asked, what is it, mom? What is it that you want? The mother of Zebedee's sons said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at the left in your kingdom. Verse 22 finds Christ's response when he says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. My subject matter this morning is to celebrate the one that God uses to shape and influence our character and our future. And the title I'll give this morning is simply this: peace. Peace. You've heard the phrase, when daddy's not happy, or excuse me, you've heard the phrase, when mama's not happy, nobody's happy. But has anybody ever taken the time to ask, well, why is mom not happy? Well, many times it's because of dad. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, take your word and this morning teach us. Teach us how you use us. Teach us how you instruct us through our moms. Teach us how you use moms and spiritual mothers and mother figures to powerfully influence and shape our lives. Let us today be listeners and learners that we might leave here and we might be more rooted and grounded in our faith than ever before. And now, God, we pray for a revival in the American family. We pray for our families that, God, you would bring healing to the brokenness in many, many relationships in our families. That, God, you would start a revival of those that are broken and hurting, turning back towards you. Oh, God, let this be a season in which the sons of fathers turn their hearts back toward their fathers, and let each and every son and daughter turn their heart towards you as you turn your love toward us. We pray this in the wonderful name of the Lord, and together everybody prayed and said amen. Now, in this passage of Scripture, the mother of Zebedee's sons knew how to bring her boys, not just to church, but to Jesus. And there in the presence of God, Scripture tells us that she kneeled, she worshiped, and she asked. She's very specific. She longed for her sons to be a part of his kingdom. And not just a part, but to be actively involved in the work. You see, for a godly mom, it's not enough for her and the desires of her heart for her kids to just be in church, to just make it to church on Mother's Day and Easter and Christmas. In a godly mom's heart, she has the desire for her child to take their place, to take their place in the local church and to be actively involved. We see this at work in the life of this mom. She wanted her children to carry out the desires that God had placed in her heart. And so she asked. Another way of saying that she asked, she prayed, and she prayed big. And like most moms, this mom had big dreams, big desires, and big aspirations for her son. You see, God puts that in the heart of every godly mom. There are few things on this earth that are more dear to a mom than her children being right with God. Now, I'm going to give our moms a chance to say amen by rephrasing that and re-saying that. There are few things on this earth more dear to a mom than her children being right with God. In 33 years of full-time ministry, I've heard many a mom brag on her kids. I've heard a mom talk about what a great job or what a great career her children have, specifically her daughter. But I've heard mom after mom talk about how her son and her daughter not only have great jobs, but they're great parents and that they're very gifted. Mom after mom has pulled me to the side and told me what most moms would say about their kids, that their kids were the greatest kids in the entire world. But can I tell you, long after they tell me how gifted they are, how great parents they are, how great jobs they have, more times than not, that same mom would look at me and say, but Pastor, please pray. Please pray for my kids. They're not where they should be with the Lord. Children, I've found in my short 53 years of living life, and I can remember a time, let me pause and say that 53 seemed very old. I looked at people in their 50s and called them senior citizens. And now that I are one, I would like to go on record as saying that being 50 is now being 30. It's the new being 30. Can I have a better amen? Yeah. But children, I've learned in these 53 years, in my own parenting for 25 plus, I've learned too that children can either be our greatest pain or our greatest pleasure. I found a blog that a mom had written that I'd like to share with you. It caught my attention because this writer, she said, "My mom taught me several rules for being a perfect lady." And if ever there was a generation of young ladies that need to know some rules that govern and guide your life and really bring about being a lady, it's this generation. And so I'm going to share not all, but about seven of these rules that this young lady wrote and said, "These are the rules that my mom subscribed to me and told me that this would make you a perfect lady." Number one, she said, "Mind your manners." Turn to somebody around you and say, "Yes, ma'am." "Mind your manners and always write thank you notes." Number two, "Brush your hair." Appearance matters. Number three, this is one of my favorite. Never marry a man in order to change him. Obviously, it wasn't your favorite, but it was mine. Number four, stand up straight and clean your fingernails. The fifth rule was to eat everything on your plate. And remember that there are starving children in the world. The sixth rule that I'll share this morning is somewhat personal. But her mother said, keep your mouth shut and your legs crossed. Number seven, don't ever do anything you wouldn't want me as your mom to do. She finished the blog, and she wrote a couple of paragraphs, of which I'll read one. She said this about her mom. She said, my mom was really strict, and she used to drive me crazy with all of her silly rules. As a teenager, I couldn't wait to grow up and get away from her. Finally, after about 22 years of living at home in a prison, I got married and moved away from my mom. And now, what seems like the blink of an eye, 30 years have come and gone, and with them, so has my mother. My mom's been home with the Lord for about 2 years now. Now, as a mother of 4 children and 11 grandchildren, my mom's rules don't seem quite so silly anymore, especially since I use them pretty often with my own kids and grandkids. Oh, what I wouldn't give to hear my mom's voice say, well, if everyone else was jumping off a bridge, would you? She finishes by saying this, all that I am and all that I hope to be came as a result of my mom's love and influence. That's the power of mom. God uses moms to shape and to influence our character today and our future tomorrow. So I want us to go back to Matthew chapter 20 and our story of Mrs. Zebedee, because she has a name besides Mrs. Zebedee. Her name was Salome, which is derived from the Greek word shalom, meaning peace. Salome. Now, I don't know anybody this side of heaven who currently has the name Salome. Now, you may be here today and you may want to stand up and say, I am the real Salome. But it's not a name that you hear, but it's a significant name because it's derived from the Greek word shalom, meaning peace. Peace. Not just the name of this morning's teaching, but the name of this mother. And she wasn't just any mom. She was the mom of James and John. I'm not talking about Jesse James. I'm talking about the Apostle James and the Apostle John. They made up 2/3 of the inner circle of Christ. This is the same 2 that are mentioned every time in God's Word when you hear the names Peter, James, and John. In fact, one of her sons was known by Christ, was described by Christ as John the Beloved. In the Roman Catholic tradition, she is called one of the 3 Marys in the Bible. It's this godly mom who powerfully sought to shape the character and to influence the future of her sons. Now, I want to take more of a positive perspective, a positive interpretation and point of view on this scripture. For years now, theologians and preachers have kind of put her in a critical light because in the past, they've criticized her for her pride. They've criticized her for being somewhat pushy and presumptuous. But I want to look at this mom whose name means peace in a positive light. Can you imagine if your mom's name was Peace? And every time that you called your mom, you prophesied not only over her, but over you and over your household. You called your mom Peace. That's the power of a mom. Mom has the ability to bring peace into our lives. Don't believe me? Get Crossways with your mom. I remember early in our marriage, my wife looking at me and her talking to me about the desires in her heart. And that desire was to have children. And she talked about bringing them into our home and that it wouldn't just be a house, but that this home would be known for its peace. And she told me in no uncertain terms that that peace would be the priority that would guide and would govern our home. I learned very quickly that as the male in our household, as the man of God in our household, as the priest of my home, that it was conducive for me to not do anything to upset the balance in that home that would produce anything less than the lack of peace. This woman was accurately named. Salome's name means peace. This mama walked in the power of peace. This mama knew some things, as most mamas do. I love to hear Dina tell me stories of when she was a teenager and how when she would grow up, she would tell her mom one story, but that story wasn't the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God, as I hide the truth. She would tell me stories of how she would tell her mom that she was going to go out with a certain group of friends and they were going to go to a certain movie. Yes, she was going out with a certain group of friends, but not the friends she told her mom about. Yes, she was going to a movie, but it wasn't the movie she was telling her mom about. And she would tell how she would go out, she would come home, she would even be on time. She would even be a little early so that it wouldn't throw her mom off the path and make her mom suspicious. She would come in, she would be home a little early, and she would walk in and she would think, man, I have had a blast. I've been out with my friends, I saw the movie I wanted to see, and I did my own thing, and I fooled my mom. She would tell me stories of how she would shut the front door, and no sooner had she gotten in her house than out of the dark, her mom would be sitting in the living room and saying, Dina, just wanted to let you know that I know where you've been, and I know who you went with. And then her mom, as it was spooky, it was like her mom knew God, and God knew where Dina had been, and her mom would tell her the names of her friends and the movie that she went to. That's the power of a mom. Moms just know things. It's like they have eyes in the back of their head. It's like they can read your thoughts. And Dina was raised by a mom that was much like that. Now, this mom knew those same kind of things. Salome knew things. She knew the teachings about Jesus and his kingdom. She knew that her sons, James and John, were also very close to Jesus because this mom was very engaged. She knew her kids' friends. She knew that, not only that she knew their friends, but she knew that her sons had a great call on their lives. And like most parents, this mom believed that her kids would change the world. And in this case, this mom's kids actually did. She knew that when the Lord formed his kingdom, that when the Lord started his church, that they would probably both be in high positions of leadership. It's safe to say that this mom did her part to shape and to prepare them. Now, there's three powerful lessons that we're going to learn about in Scripture this morning. And it's the things that teach us as leaders and as moms and as children and as dads, the key thing about having a mom or a mother figure in your life. So again, we look at this through a positive perspective. First of all, she taught us to bring our kids to the Lord in prayer. She taught us to bring our Lord into the lives of our children by bringing our kids to the Lord in prayer. In just a few moments, Susan Hancock is going to come, and as a godly grandmother and mother, she's going to help bring all of our kids to the Lord. So that's the first thing. Is this mom knew how to bring her kids to the Lord in prayer. When nothing else worked, when nothing else would seem to bring about the blessing and the breakthrough, this mama went to the Lord. And notice how she went. It's the second lesson she taught us. She taught us how to pray with a big and with a bold faith. I mean, it was pretty big of her and it was pretty bold of her to take this moment with the Lord, kneel in his presence, and then ask for both of her kids to have a position in the kingdom of God. She even got as definitive as saying, I want one of my sons to sit on his left hand, and I want the other to sit on his right hand. That's pretty big. That's pretty bold. But notice in Scripture one thing Jesus never did. Jesus never rebuked her for that. Jesus never told her no. I think in an indirect way, Jesus is saying, hey, Bring your kids to me. And when you come, have the audacity to pray big. Have the audacity to pray bold. Have the audacity to ask for things that seem impossible for you, because that's what I specialize in. Because what's impossible for you, Mom, is possible for me. So she prayed big and she prayed bold. Jesus never rebuked her for that, never told her no, but he reminded her of the cost and said, you know what? It's our Father that handles the seating chart. So in just a few moments, I've asked Susan to come and pray. I want her to pray big. I want her to pray bold. I want her to pray the dreams and the desires of God that's in the hearts of our children to change the world. Thirdly, not only did she teach us to pray and to pray big and bold, but she teaches us here what to do in the presence of the Lord. Scripture says she kneeled. Scripture tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. She teaches us what to do in the presence of God. That's why coming to church is so important. That's why exposing your children and your youth to worship services like this morning is so important. It's because they look around the room and they see how to kneel. They see how to come to Jesus. They hear how to worship God. They learn how to pray. I remember growing up in church, and I remember each of the churches I grew up in, and there were only two, but each of the churches had women of God in the church that when the Spirit got to move, they began to pray. And those mamas that I heard as a kid growing up, as a teenager growing up, they prayed big and they prayed bold. And it seemed like when I would invite an unsafe friend of mine, that's when they prayed the biggest and the boldest. I'll never forget thinking when I was in the Baptist church, I never imagined that people would pray out loud there. But every once in a while, there was an older lady in our church that when the Spirit of God would come on her, she would just begin to pray. And she knew most of us, and she would call us by name. Now, that's a scary church when the women of God, the matriarchs of God, they don't just look up, but they look around before they look up, and they take you to God without your permission. These are the kind of little bandits that would just rip you off. And what I mean by that is they would tell the world about your sin as they prayed to God. I remember being in the Spirit-filled church, the Assembly of God church that my mom would take us to. And I would remember taking a girl that probably wasn't right with the Lord to church that I would try to impress. And we'd be sitting in the youth section. And it would be that day, of all days, that a lady by the name of Dorothy McDougal, would just be blasted with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know how cool or how hard it is to look cool when the matriarch of the church suddenly begins to pray loudly in tongues? And then interpret it, and it sound like an emergency vehicle responding to an accident? That was the world I grew up in. There was always those moments in my life where the voice of a mother, the voice of a spiritual mother, could be heard and her faith could be seen as she would get in the presence of the Lord. And can I tell you, a woman of God doesn't need you to be in the presence of the Lord for her to get in the presence of the Lord. And when a woman of the Lord gets in the presence of the Lord, all things become possible, and she may not ask your permission to take your things to the Lord. In the kind of churches I grew up in, if you misbehaved in church, your mother, your father, or somebody else's mom, or somebody else's father would walk right down to where you're seated. And they would wait for the pastor to pause. And they would take you by the ear. Please work with me. He's a trained professional. They would take you and your ear. It was not politically correct, but it was spiritual correction. And they would take you to sit beside your mama. Playing the role of his mama is Nancy Stevens today. And let me tell you what, mama, without ever opening her mouth, would give you a look I've sat where you've sat, young man. I've sat next to my mama and seen that look. My mama had the death stare. She was the original death star. And she would zap me with her long fingernails and leave bruises that this day are still not healed. And then she would lean over to my dad and she would give my dad that look. And my dad would give me that look like, son, you better get ready, get ready, get ready. Because there's going to be a revival on your hind end when we get home. You're going to be blessed coming. You're going to be blessed going. You're going to be blessed pressed down, shaking together and running over. Now, sometimes mama didn't even wait for us to get in the car. Sometimes mama would take over. It would be like handing off a baton. Mama would grab me by the ear and mama would take me by the ear and we would stand up and we would walk out in the middle in front of God and everybody, and all my friends would be going, ooh. I remember as a kid one time, I don't know what got in me. It was probably the devil. And as we were walking out, I grabbed the doorpost. No! And one of them ushers woke up and pried my cold, dead fingers off the doorway. And he got in on it, too. It was like everybody wanted me to be right with God. It was like in that church, you had to really work to go to hell. That's what's missing from the 21st century church, is you can come to church and remain untouched, unchanged. You can remain comfortable and not convicted. But I'm here to tell you, there's a new sheriff in town. There is a legacy of spiritual moms and dads that aren't afraid to fight the devil, death, hell, and the grave for you and for me. Mamas, they powerfully shape and influence our today's, so that, friend, kid not yourself, someday when you grow up and get out of all this mess called sin, carnality, and flesh, you'll get on to fulfilling the future that God has called you to. Mother's Day reminds us that being a mom, it's never easy, because there's always someone, always something difficult to pray about. James Dobson tells the story about a time he came home when his son Ryan was a small baby. He writes, "It had been a terrible day for my wife, Shirley. Ryan, our son, had been sick and had cried all day. Once, as she was changing his diapers, the telephone rang. My wife reached over to answer it before fastening up his diaper. Just then, Ryan had another attack of diarrhea." Boy, you know we've really celebrated Mother's Day when we've brought that term to the table. She cleaned up that mess and put him in clean, sweet-smelling clothes. Then she took him into the living room and fed him. As she was burping him, he threw up all over himself, her and the couch too. Dobson writes and says, "When I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere." Talk about a classic phrase, the aroma of motherhood. My wife, Shirley, cried out to me, "Was all of this in my contract?" He finishes that part of his book by saying, "Being a parent is not easy. Sometimes you're filled with joy, sometimes with sadness. Sometimes your children make you so proud you want to pop your buttons. At other times you can't find enough handkerchiefs to dry your eyes and to wipe your tears." I close this morning, and as Renee comes, I want to repeat what sometimes you as mothers may feel. One very tired mom probably said it best when she said this: "I can relate to and understand the feelings of the mom with three children who was asked, 'If you had it to do all over again, would you have children?' That mom said yes, but probably not the same ones." Well, that hit close to home. I grew up with two sisters. Anyway, I believe strongly, with deep conviction, that God has asked much of myself and my wife. That a revival has been entrusted to us. It's a revival that at times will include intense worship, intense prayer, intense ministry in which many will get filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. Many will be healed. But every bit as important is a revival that God is asking of us to lay our lives down for. And that's the revival and restoration of families, one person at a time. That God is asking more of us than maybe we've even asked of ourselves. A part of answering that call to revival is going to take place June 24th, I believe. On June 24th, on a Saturday morning, we'd like to invite you to be our guest. We're going to be here in the building beginning at 9:30. As families, we're going to drink a little coffee, have some fruit and some Danishes. Who's kidding who? We'll have some Danishes. And then I've asked Shea Butts and Pastor Casey DeGroote to come and to bring teaching. And through this teaching, bring healing and restoration to our families, one person and one family at a time. That day there will be workshops, breakout sessions, as they begin to help us better identify and understand the power and the potential of healthy boundaries in our relationships as families. They're going to bring emotional healing, relational healing, and mental healing. See, it's not just their career by day, it's their calling through the dark nights of family souls. God is going to use these two ladies that are highly educated and highly skilled to bring our church into a season of healing like we've not even maybe known to pray about. It's going to be a part of that revival. On June 24th, I believe that marriages are going to begin to find the help they need, the healing that they've prayed for and asked God for. And ultimately, God is going to begin to bring peace to every heart and peace to every home. Because there's few families in the United States of America that don't need the peace of God and the revival of His power and the restoration of His kingdom in their hearts and their homes. This morning, we're in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand. And as you begin to stand to your feet, we're going to model what Shalomi did in the presence of the Lord that day in the story. It brought peace to her heart, and it brought peace to her children's future. And as Susan comes, I want you to see her coming as the opportunity for you to not leave the place that you're seated, but you're still going to be able to come. In the presence of the Lord, you're going to be able to come and bring your kids and your grandkids. You're going to be able to come and bring your life and bring the life of your marriage to the Lord. You're going to be able to pray big and pray bold. This is so crucial. This is so key that our children and our youth see and hear this. They learn what to do in the presence of the Lord. They learn how to come into His presence and ask for power. No, I'm not asking for you to grab someone's ear near you and drag them out the door. But what I am asking you to do is to drag their heart to God. Because there are many of us today that this day is bitter and sweet. And part of what makes it bitter is the brokenness in our families. Children and grandchildren away from their family and their family away from their grandchildren. You see, today is about healing. Today is about hope. It's why we've prayed for single moms. It's why we give ourselves a moment to remember that there are moms in this room who've lost a child. There's moms today who have given up a child for adoption and have never met that child. It's why we're taking this moment If you're a mom that at some point in your life found yourself giving up a child to adoption or abortion, you're still struggling to find healing, it's why in the presence of God there's a fullness of joy, and it's why there's going to be a tremendous opportunity for healing to be experienced. It's in this moment that we're going to remind ourselves that there's a lot of moms who, they're not a mom yet. They've always wanted a child. They've always wanted children, but for a variety of reasons, they've remained single. They've remained living without the family they've dreamed they would have. This is a moment where we who have wept through the night and mourned come into the presence of God, ask for a miracle, pray big and pray bold, and believe that even our things are possible. So as a means of coming into agreement with this big, bold moment of prayer, would you just extend your hands towards Susan as she prays for each and every one of our hearts and homes. Susan, if you would, please.
I just want to say right quickly that I want to give a tribute to my precious little mother that went to be with the Lord last year at age 94, and she was a woman of faith, a woman of prayer, steadfastness, and it was never an option whether or not we were going to church on Sunday morning. We just knew it was a given. We were going to get up and go to church. And she lived out that life for 94 years and died as a woman of great faith and a huge example to her family. So, wow. Mom, I love you today.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. God, I thank you for the power that we have through you and through your yes. Holy Spirit. God, I thank you that through that anointing and through that Holy Spirit, that strongholds can be broken down in our homes. Father, I thank you that today things can be forever changed. That when we leave this place, God, as mothers, God, as we're giving tribute to mothers today, Lord, as we leave this place, God, that we can leave in the power and the might of that Holy Spirit and that anointing in our lives. God, as we go out of this place, I pray that you would move us toward prayer as mothers. God, that we would go to you first when a problem arises, God. When there's turmoil in our lives, God. When there's storms in our lives, that we don't look to any other source but you. That, God, we go to your word. And we kneel our hearts in prayer, God. And we intercede for our families, for our husbands, for our children. And God, that we come boldly before you, God. That we'll be promoters of peace. God, that we will be women, God, like a mighty army that's raised up in these last days. God, create an army of women in Dominion Church, Lord, that are full of power and full of your might. And God, that we can come to you, Lord, bold as lions and gentle as lambs. God, that we can be supreme, supreme examples to our children, Lord. And that we can just be that promoters of peace, God, and promoters of joy in our home. God, we just come to you right now. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. All that you've done and all that you're going to do, Father, because we know, Lord, that you're all powerful today, God. We ask you to rule and reign in our hearts, to rule and reign in our homes, God. Place a hedge of protection around us, God, that the enemy cannot go through.
Amen.
Lord, we just ask you for that power and that might today, Lord.
Amen.
We ask you that lives would be changed today, God. And as we leave this place, God, we would just not ever be the same. But God, we would move forward to see you bring peace and wisdom and supernatural power in our homes today, God. And we give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Susan. What makes this moment so beautiful is that because of new technology, her children not only got to hear her and see her pray today, but for the rest of their lives, they'll have a moment, a video, that anytime they need to hear their mama pray, hear their mama's voice, they can go to their iPhone and see and hear the great heritage of faith they've received through their mama, Susan Hancock. I bless you, Susan. And as Pastor Clint's coming to dismiss you this morning, today I want to give you this opportunity and moment to give your mom the greatest gift you could ever give. And that is to make things right in your heart towards the Lord and to make things right in your heart towards her. So let's pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, I invite you into my heart to save me from my sins, to forgive me of all my unrighteousness. This day, become my Lord and my Savior, and make things in my heart right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, it doesn't take a 6-week course to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. It doesn't take a perfect prayer. It doesn't take a long sermon, but it does help. And all it takes is a heart that says, Lord, come in. Now take that heart the Lord came into. And before this day is over, give that same heart God gave you to your mama. And that word to your mama will be the best thing you could ever give her on this Mother's Day. Some of you who haven't bought her a gift yet are like, praise God, that saves me a trip by Walmart's on the way home. Pastor Clint, come and dismiss us today, sir.
If you made that decision for Christ today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe it's been a long time and you've come into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that we celebrate with you. And we celebrate with heaven, because when one person comes to know Jesus, man, the entire realm of heaven throws a party. And maybe you're going to a party to celebrate mom. Well, you know what? There's something else to celebrate, and that's new life in Christ. And so we want to partner with you. If you made that decision, you can come down here. We'll pray with you right after this conclusion prayer. But I want to just leave you with this. Make sure that if you didn't sign one of these because you're old, not because you're old in age, but because you're old here, at Dominion Church, we want you to, everyone that we get, we're going to give $2 to Anchor Point. We want to give thousands of dollars to them for mothers and for families. But I want to end with this. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Heavenly Father, God, may your peace, that shalom, that mom, God, I pray that there would be a presence that goes with us on this day. God, for those that don't have mom, wrap your arms completely around them. And may this day be felt by your love and by your peace. We prayed in the mighty name of Jesus, the strong name of Christ, and everybody prayed and said, amen. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Have a great day.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.